smoothly tonight. We'll be putting Moses to rest and then moving on. We've had some days off due to snow and some other activities, so it seems like it may have taken us a long time to get here. However, we did have a reprieve and stuff like that. So, nevertheless, once we get done, we'll move off onto a couple more 40s. So, at this time, if you'll bow with me, we'll open class with a prayer. Dear Heavenly God, we're so very thankful for this opportunity, for this once again having this midweek time to set aside all the worldly thoughts and pressures and take a moment to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to the teachings and to the songs that we sing and to the fellowship and the brotherly love that we have for one another, an opportunity for us to edify, to encourage, to uplift, and just have a time of reflection with each other and draw ourselves again closer to the cross. Thank you for this day, this opportunity. We ask that you'll be with us throughout the remainder of this week and that you will look upon us with favor and continue to bless us. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I'll be honest with you. I had a little different approach on bringing Moses to conclusion. But in light of some of the personal happenings that have been going on and things like this, I changed my mind this afternoon and approached Moses' remainder of time a little differently. So I hope you guys will indulge me in this, and that it might be a little rough around the ears, but it was kind of on the fly. And so what we're going to do is, originally I was going to pick it up in Numbers and start there and kind of wrap things up. The change, I'm going to go back to Exodus, and we're going to turn to chapter 33. And we're going to kind of re-emphasize, because I may not have emphasized it enough or for all kinds of reasons, but what I want to do is emphasize the presence of God in Moses' life and how that correlates to the presence of God in our lives today. Because sometimes I think we get so overwhelmed and so busy and with all of the other priorities and responsibilities that we have, that sometimes we either forget of God's presence, we may have a tendency to take it for granted, and that we really don't take advantage of God's presence until we are confronted with things that take us outside our comfort zone. That could be something that involves us directly. It could be job related. It could be financially related. It could be related due to a death of a loved one. Or it could affect us because family members are affected. They may be experiencing events in their lives that are tragic. They may be experiencing events in their lives that are beyond what we would consider normal. And it's at those times that we have a tendency to go, oh, wow, I can't do this all on my own. And maybe it's time I kneel and pray to God for help. Maybe it's time I kneel and pray to God for strength. Maybe it's time I kneel and pray to God for those things I haven't been talking to Him about prior to this time. when he's been there the whole time, his presence, we see how it worked and how Moses and God had a relationship that reflected friendship, that reflected an intimate closeness that represented love, compassion. It represented strength. And it also represented God's ability as an almighty, as an all-powerful, to look down on his own creation and to develop a relationship that allowed Moses to have confidence. For the most part, there were some moments where he kind of backed up and, you know, wasn't too sure he was ready to do what God wanted him to do. But God's presence at the right time was a comfort for Moses. As Christians today, we need to take advantage of that comfort. We need to take advantage of that presence. We need to be able to know that God's there all the time. Not just the times when life slaps us in the face and we find ourselves on our knees because we have to and not because we feel that we need to. Or that we feel that we just, it's time to have another discussion with God like we would with our spouse or like we would with our best friend or even our neighbor across the fence. So when we look at Moses, we understand that he had developed and nurtured this presence of God that got him through his entire 120 years of life on this earth. Okay, chapter 33, Exodus 33. This might be a little bit of a long read, so bear with me. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here, and you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, and the Ammonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people.' And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, 'Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do to you.' So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent." Now this is important. "Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. And so it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." Now this pillar, this was God himself. This was God himself being present with Moses. This was a physical presence that the entire Israelite people could see. And there was a purpose there. It was a purpose to let them know that the presence of God was with not only Moses, but it was visible to the nation of Israel. And all the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Okay? This is that intimate, personal relationship that Moses has to God, with God. He says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Not as a stranger, not as a newcomer, not as one who is in training, but as a friend. A one who has an intimate relationship and a bond there. And he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. In verse 12, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray that I have found grace in your sight. Show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. Here we go. Verse 14. And he said, my presence will go with you. And then the caveat there. And I will give you rest. This is God's reassurance. This is God's reassurance to Moses that I'll always be there. If anybody turns away, it will not be God. Moses and God had a relationship that was such that we should yearn to have that relationship with God today. Now, how did we develop a relationship with somebody like that? How do we get to be in a situation where we feel comfortable having a conversation with somebody face to face?
I would think you would have to be courageous enough, as Moses was, and to have some of those conversations, tough as they may be, you know. But then they would have to be often too.
Yeah. Those conversations Moses had were daily walks. Moses and God had a relationship that was referred to as a companion. Is our relationship with God greater today than what Moses could ever imagine having with God back then? I hope I worded that okay. Moses had that walk with God. He had that personal relationship. But what was separating Moses and God that we don't have to worry about today? What did they have to do annually? Sacrifices. Sin. There was still that barrier. There was still that barrier of sin. No matter how close God and Moses were, sin was still in the way. We don't have that problem today. That barrier was taken away through the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can develop a relationship with God that's even closer. It's hard to imagine, Because today, we don't have those physical, visual experiences. We don't have those tangible moments where we can go outside and we can either see this cloud during the day or we can see this pillar of fire at night. But what do we have? Jesus Christ. When we come out of that water as a new babe, our humanity as we know it is changed. At that moment, we have a direct line. We've got that red phone to our God and Father. And isn't it a shame that even those who are on this side who understand or have been shown Christianity don't develop that relationship? Moses is probably one of the most perfect examples for us. If Moses in his life, under that law, can walk with God, how much greater can our relationship with God be today because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross? What sacrifice is required of us to develop that relationship? Remember the old days, blood brothers, kids growing up? You either spit in your hand and you shook somebody's hand and man, you guys were buddies forever. Or if you were brave enough, you know, you'd take your little penknife and you'd poke yourself in the finger or something like this, and you'd be blood brothers. Man, growing up, that meant a lot. All we have to do is make a commitment and believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And go through that burial of baptism. And man, we've got the fast lane. At that point, all that's required to us is to study, to open this Bible, to read, so that we can get to know who our new companion is. So we can get to know who God is. So we can get to know why and what for the sacrifice on the cross. Moses definitely had some advantages, but we are by far more blessed with what we've been given today. And so when we see in verse 14, when it says, "And he said, my presence will go with you," that applies us today. But not will go with you. It's already here. It's already here. How can we benefit from that relationship today? What does it mean to you individually as a Christian to truly understand that the presence of God is with you all the time? Does it provide you at least some comfort? Does it provide you some encouragement? Does it provide you with some confidence? Is it a little frightening? Can it be a little overwhelming? Sure. Here we have the Almighty God, the one and only. And we can be his best friend. or he can be our best friend. What a privilege. What an honor. What better understanding we could have today, knowing that we have God on our side through the examples that are given through us in the Bible, knowing that he fulfills his word, he keeps his promise. What a reassurance that is to us. We see through Moses' example that he kept his word. So how much more encouraging is that to us to know that we're not just wasting our time? That this just isn't a scheme of somebody else having a different kind of book on a specific religion saying, believe in this one, and you guys will have a better chance of getting to heaven. We know this is the truth. We know, Cindy hates it when I say this, that we got the cookie. But do we live our lives like that? Do we take advantage of God when it comes to utilizing him in the avenue of prayer? Do we truly, truly walk with him step in step and counsel with him as a friend? If not, we should be. If not, it's our own fault. Because he says he is with us all the time. We should be encouraged. We should be inspired through what we see, that relationship with God and Moses. How many of you woke up today and up to this moment have not had a problem, a concern, or a thought in any negative form at all? I hope and pray that most of us did. But as life has it, it doesn't work that way. We all have our challenges. We all have things in our lives that come at us in one direction or another, catch us off guard. We all have, as my cousin would say, we all have our demons. Some are more evident than others. But they all create challenges. They all create moments in our lives where we question perhaps the decisions we make. But that's the devil's way of trying to get at us all the time. That's the devil's way of trying to cause us to stumble, cause us to question our Christianity, cause us to say, hey, is it worth it? Because what I'm going through right now sure doesn't feel like it. That's where the devil gets in. And he starts tweaking and causing us to stumble and to wobble. David's had, you know, several sermons on how we are to remain faithful and to stay strong under the pressures of adversity. And there's a reason why. Did Moses stumble a little bit? Did Moses hesitate? Sure. We're all human. I mean, he made the point to where a decision he made in regarding to one of his sons angered God so much that he was ready to take his life. I mean, he was coming to get him. it was made right. Moses was spared. And he continued with God's plan. And he left and had a life that today we remember and we read about all the time. He didn't just fade away. We have adversities. We have struggles. We have things that are nipping at our heels all the time. But is it just enough? Is it enough to know that God's there? What other reassurance do we need as Christians that can give us comfort and that can give us peace during these difficult times? Let me give you a hint. In the latter part of verse 14, once he said, "My presence," and makes reassurance that my presence will go with you, he then says, "I will give you rest." What does that mean to you as a Christian? It's 6 o'clock. I'm done. I'm locking the doors, turning off the lights. I'm going home. And there's an easy chair with my name on it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you put in a hard day. But is that the kind of rest God's talking about? Is that the kind of rest that's being reassured to Moses? Yeah. But it can feel pretty good. There's a show, I think, and I digress here a little bit, with Bruce Willis, and I think it's his first Die Hard, if you've seen it. And he's on the airplane, and I guess he doesn't like to fly. Anyway, the guy sitting next to him can sense that. And he says, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, to make that feel better, says, when you get to the hotel, take your shoes and socks off and make fists in your toes in the carpet. He said, man, it's wonderful. I did it. I've been doing it for years. And it feels so good. I mean, it's kind of simplifying it, but that's what God is telling Moses. That's what God is reassuring Moses. And that's the same reassurance we are being shared with us today. Moses' life, if you looked at it, the first 40 years, not too bad. The second 40 years, still not too bad. Wasn't quite accustomed to the living he had when he was, you know, in the Egyptian palaces and stuff like that. But yet for those 40 years, basically he just attended the flocks of his father-in-law and moved around, and that was it. Didn't have a whole lot of responsibilities. Definitely wasn't in any kind of leadership role. Definitely didn't have to make any rules or judgment or, you know, hold counsel for anybody. But those last 40 years, and he was an old guy. I mean, you know, God was there with him. But still, I'm sure he aged a little bit. He went up against Pharaoh, probably considered the most powerful man on earth at the time. Beat him up pretty good, which he deserved. Took this little tribe of people, which now is being referred to as a nation, out of Egypt into a land that they weren't accustomed to. So he assumed the role of a leader. He assumed the role of a patriarch. He stepped into the role of judge and mediator. He held counsel so that he could oversee and hear and deal with the problems of the people of Israel while they were in the wilderness. When they were wandering in the wilderness, was Moses up in his palace overseeing them, you know, running around in the desert? No, he was right there with them. He was experiencing the same heat of the day. He was experiencing the same difficulties of being out in the wilderness. He was experiencing the same discomforts that anybody would being exposed to those particular elements. He had his challenges. But in the end, the rest that he was promised was a rest of eternity. I had a person tell me one time, says, Todd, pain is only temporary. Well, I can tell you right now, temporary could be a long time. And it can hurt. And then I had another individual tell me, Todd, he said, that pain will eventually be replaced with fond and loving memories. And that's true. But there's nothing more settling and more comforting to the soul than knowing and being confident that on the time that your salvation is asked of you, that you will be received into the bosom of God and that you will be comforted. And then it's just the time awaiting to take possession of your place in heaven. It's understanding that kind of comfort. It's understanding that kind of peace that gets us through these days and these challenges. I'll admit, there's been times where things were going on in my life and my brain was so busy and things were going on that when it came time to lay my head down and go to sleep, not only did it not feel comfortable, it was not a moment of rest and relaxation. Things were just busy going on. I couldn't turn it off. God promised Moses, said, we'll get through this. Everything that you're dealing with right now is part of the plan. Everything that you've been exposed to and that I've asked of you is what I've been getting you prepared for the last 80 years so that you could see it through to the end. Do we comprehend that compassion? Do we comprehend what that promise as a faithful, believing Christian really means to us? Because I can tell you right now that when those times are swirling around your shoulders and you can't see anything beyond what's hitting you in the face, that sometimes understanding that part of Christian reality can be pretty difficult. There were times when Job was dealing with what God and him were dealing with. And there were people in his ear and loved ones that were basically telling him to curse God. And Job had a lot of things happen to him. He stood firm. He understood what the bigger picture was. That got him through all of those challenges. Understanding what he knew in direct relation to his faith with God got him through that. As Christians today, if we are walking with God, if we are in one step with Jesus Christ, if we have a full and complete understanding of what that relationship is, and we develop and nurture and grow that relationship, we can get through the hard times. We still may come out bruised and bloody and, you know, with some cuts and needing a few Band-Aids, but we'll survive it. And as a collective body of brothers and sisters in Christ, we will be able to help each other through those times. Because if we're all developing and growing in that relationship, it's just a natural fit that we come together to be with everybody, to edify, to strengthen, to encourage. Moses understood this. And he knew that at the end of his life, that there was something greater than what he could ever receive in this earthly life. Do we understand that today as Christians? Do we believe that? For some of us, that's a challenge. For some, that it's going to take us a little bit more time to develop that knowledge so that we can in turn develop that relationship. What makes it hard is we don't have somebody who is visibly present before us. We don't have our own little pillar during the day. We don't have that cloud following us. We don't have that little pillar of fire at night illuminating us as we walk through the house. But what we do have and what we do receive when we come out of this body of water from baptism is a gift from our Father in heaven, our Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not just an individually process here. We got a full team on our side. We've got God Almighty who keeps his promises so complete that he gave his one and only Son. And then he said, okay, if that's not enough, I'll give you somebody on earth to help you out. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. As Christians, do we fully understand the power and the way the Holy Spirit works in our lives? And if we don't, maybe that's the fault of our teachers. And not the individuals, but the curriculum in which they teach. Maybe there's times where we need to have more classes on the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's times where we need to spend more time in the Bible understanding just how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And the blessing that is to us as Christians. God's done his part. He's kept his promise. He's given us his Son. And not just that sacrifice, and not just the blood, But he tells us that in heaven, like the Holy Ghost works for us here on earth, in heaven, Jesus Christ mediates for us as well. And buddy, is that not powerful? Oh my goodness. We are on the winning team. We have the cookie. Don't tell Cindy I said that. If we can't be successful as a Christian now, then we're not studying enough. We don't have this book open enough. Because as we read and we look to try to apply this to our lives, the answers are in here. And if you don't know how to find them, if I don't know how to find them, there are brothers and sisters around us that have more Bible knowledge that would be more than eager to help. All we have to do is ask the question. Well, Todd, I don't know enough to know what kind of questions to ask. And that's okay. Let somebody know. There's still help out there. There's still an opportunity for somebody to say, okay, maybe this is where we need to start. Sometimes I feel like I'm kind of telling you all something you all already know. And there's, you know, more people older than me and younger than me that have more biblical knowledge than I do. That's right.
So, you know, it's certainly a reassurance, if nothing else, to just hear what you're talking about thus far.
Well, God has given us a path that is lit by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's given us the directions, the roadmap. We don't have to go through this life blind. But what we have to do is make the effort to read the map. We have to make the effort to start the journey. We all are in a different place in our lives when it comes to our Christianity, to our Christian growth. And that's what makes it so nice. Any one person in here could help somebody else to grow a little stronger, to become a little bit more grounded in the faith. I mean, look what Moses did. He took the people out in the wilderness. He dealt with them during the times that they were grumbling and unsatisfied. He went up onto the mountain before a God who was showing his might, but on the other side showing his compassion. The presence of God is just alive with us today, if not more so than what it was with Moses back in his time. Because we, as Christians, have the blood of Jesus Christ to get us through. Thank you very much. That'll put Moses to bed, and we'll pick up on a different 40 when we meet again next week. Thank you.